The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was just read. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to show us your will in the mind of Jesus. Help us to understand the meaning of your word for our lives. And give us the wisdom and skills to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of us are celebrating. We're pretty old already, and we prayed that God would keep us alive to this important transition to another 1,000 years AD after Christ, another 100 years. And also, especially my wife and I, are hoping to be able to celebrate the 25th of June in the year 2000, our 50th wedding anniversary. So this is a real time of excitement and praise to God. And when we look for guidance, for principles to advise us for the next millennium, long period of time, we look to another superpower. The USSR. A few years ago, I bought this cross, made in communist Russia, sold by its business people out of Moscow. It says that 988 to 1988. Commemorating the 1,000-year conversion of Russia, still under Marxism, official dialectical scientific materialism. Well, I thought that's a nice thing. You're making a cross, beautiful cross, and so I gave them a Bible as a present, and they accepted it. And so I can think with the same hope for the next 1,000 years of this superpower, the United States. Has freedom to witness. The only answer is conversion for the next 1,000 years. There's not going to be much change in human nature. We say the futurists are saying, well, we'll live to 140 years and travel a million miles an hour in space and very rapidly go to the different planets and there'll be life on other planets. But two things, evil and death. And that's what Paul continually repeats, evil and death. And so what do we carry into those 1,000 years? Conversion is the only answer. Conversion to Jesus Christ. And he gives us some guidelines. What might you face there under evil and death? Well, the sins of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, wrath, selfish ambitions, unbelief, and all of these sins of the flesh. And what's the option? The ideals of the Spirit, soul to the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, gladness, kindness, self-control, all of these. Choose this day. Conversion is the answer. And what hope do you have? What are the stages then in conversion? I'm thinking of a case study later that I would like to see how we could apply in the conversion of this person, Susan Smith. The reason being, she exemplified the sins of the flesh. You know, her hotbed encounters with her wealthy lover, and then hoping that would be a lasting relationship. He says, oh no, you got these two kids, I don't. I'm not interested in lasting relationships. So think of Susan Smith. She just came up in the news recently again. And so what are the stages then in the conversion? Believe. Abraham believed. Third and fourth chapters of Galatians, the fourth chapter of Romans. Believe, as Abraham did. A relationship to God. And it had a promise, and that promise is a serious word. Like in its, the origin of the word, the root goes back to the Declaration of War, 7th of December, 1941. president with the support of both houses of Congress. And we declare war. That was a serious pronouncement, and so is the promise of God. A serious announcement, and conversion to it is the only answer. And so, believe. This is the truth. We have nothing better. It's revealed by God. The first chapter, Paul talks about his conversion. It's not by flesh. God had something to do, even when I was separated from my mother's womb. I'm called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and we're in that train of thought, the Gentiles. And so he says, we shook hands, that we would go to the Gentiles, and Paul and Peter and James would go to the Jews, those of the circumcision. And they wanted us to remember the poor, and that's what I wanted to do. And so he tells about his conversion as a direction in life. Believe and be baptized. Put on Christ. Let Christ be conformed in your life, a growth, a personal relationship. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me, one with Christ. I'm dead to the law. I'm alive in Christ. I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so is one. Be conformed to Jesus Christ. And then sow to the Spirit. And those who sow to the Spirit will harvest everlasting life. That's the answer to death, the answer to evil, the cross of Jesus Christ. So we're ready to start witnessing conversion, and let us take as our example Susan Smith. Now the news was, this is the news, you know, the hotline news. 1 minute. I don't have to listen to 45 minutes of advertising to get 1 minute of news that's important, and Susan Smith, and she's sentenced to life. Well, the main thing in this account of Susan Smith are the two little kids in the back seat of that car. First, she accused the blacks of kidnapping her children, so on. But now the truth came out. She strapped these little children in the back seat of the car in the life belts up on a hill to go down the ramp in the marina where the boats landed under the water. Well, the little boy started to understand this. He was separated from the love of his mother. There was no security there. That car wouldn't be a boat. So he's worried. Mommy, you know, get us out of here. That got my attention, these two little kids, because my parents also were separated. My father hired his brother to haul us to the orphanage. And we're going down that road, that gravel road, about 50 miles north of where we live, and a long driveway to a red brick building, and that was the Hami home, the orphanage. And they were taking us to the orphanage. Now, I can understand what these little kids mean when they say, you know, get us out of here. You know, what is this? Cut off from the love of God that's revealed to us through our parents who gave us life. So I can identify with these children. They don't have the courage to turn in to the Hami home, so they go up to the crossroad, turn around, come back to drop us off there. Again, not courage we go by that changes our whole lives. The little children have no option. The car starts rolling, and it gets down and under the water, and Susan cries out, "Oh my God, what have I done?" It's too late. And that's the human situation of Romans 7, where Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am! The things I should do, I don't. The things I shouldn't do, I do. What hope is there for me?" The victory is in Jesus Christ. And so if I witness to Susan Smith, you know, she has a life term, and I witness to people in the prison too. I spoke at a commencement of a secular high school in Wisconsin. The first speaker in the new high school in the new gymnasium for the graduation, the commencement. And so I put in a lot, you know, go to Nineveh, cross the Red Sea, fish from the right side of the boat, and I'm telling these students in the graduation. You know, it says in Romans 21 about the promise to Abraham, God is able to fulfill that promise. And for you too, for hope for the future. After the graduation, this fellow from the Western state comes up to me and says, "How can you get away with this? This religion in a secular high school graduation?" Well, I didn't have time to answer. One of the boys from the class came up to me and he said to me, "That was a good speech. It gave them some hope." And so we have hope in our commitment to convert to Jesus Christ, the most important thing for the next 1,000 years. 2 billion Christians now and counting. 4 billion not converted. So we want to witness to them. So Susan, and you know, it's sort of like Acts 17. You know, you say, tell me about it. What happened? She tells her story and say, I have a chance to do this. I wanted to call in the boy in the high school, that a Lutheran boy who got into the gangs and the drug who burned the high school down. And I found out the chaplain and the ministers were calling on him. He once went to a Lutheran church. So I say, Susan, tell me about it. She tells me. And maybe I can then get to that point where I say, well, you cried out to God. Tell me about it. Is that a prayer? Is that a curse? Well, Paul says in Galatians, we're under the curse of sin. Christ took that curse on the cross, Susan. He died for you. You can have a new start. It's neither circumcision nor non-circumcision. It's a new creation. Susan, you can have a new creation. Any hope for a person like Susan? Yeah. I can think of a student who was a chaplain in a prison, woman's prison. And he told about this one. Beautiful blonde woman. Once prostitution, all the sins of the flesh, and then she's converted. They have a devotional service in the prison, and she sings a solo, Amazing Grace. The student chaplain said, the women were all crying because they knew how deep she was in sin and the amazing power of amazing grace of Christ saves her. And so there's hope for Susan, and hope for us as we face death too. Now there's so much evidence, not only the Bible and miracles, but at all the research today of how our relationship to God in the church, you heard that read, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, or Gentile, or slave or free. You're all one in Christ, in the church. The instruction in the church, we're called, gathered, enlightened, sanctified, and kept for everlasting life through the message of the church, through the gospel. Conversion is the only answer. Be convinced of it, believe it, and witness of it. That even in death, this evidence now has impacted a medical doctor. The pastor is calling in the hospital ward. Next is this doctor talking to his patient. The pastor overhears the doctor saying, I have to go now. I'm taking instruction to become a member of the church. The pastor goes out at the same time down the aisle. Down the hallway of the hospital. Tell me about it, the pastor said. The doctor said, I'm taking instruction. What church are you? In a Lutheran church. Why? Because I've seen a lot of people die. And the Lutherans die with confidence, courageously facing death, because they know they're saved. Sow to the Spirit, and you will harvest everlasting life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.